Welcome to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
an ongoing conversation
with ministry leaders
about embracing complexity
and uncertainty
with joy
and faithfulness. Hello, everyone. This is Jennifer Wadley Maxell, and I am absolutely thrilled to be here this morning with Dr. Luther Smith, who is one of my former professors at Candler School of Theology. He is the professor emeritus of church and community there, and of course, our very own Mark Ramsey. We have been talking a lot about spiritual formation and what I would say is a little bit of a spiritual formation crisis, I think, in Christian community. And Dr. Smith wrote a book that has just been wonderful for me to read and for me to dive into as a pastor and a church co-planter myself. The name of the book is Hope is Here: Spiritual Practices for Pursuing Justice and Beloved Community. And the first question I wanted to ask you, Dr. Smith, is why this book and why now? Why did you think it was so important at this particular moment to offer this gift to the world?
Thank you. And thank you for this invitation to be with you. Actually, this whole matter of hope has been something that I've been giving myself to, as I indicate in the book, for over 50 years. The now aspect of it is finishing the writing and, of course, the whole publication schedule. And I'm just very pleased that it's available now. It really, for me, is important in addressing what I have personally needed in terms of understanding hope, as well as I believe other persons are desperate to both understand and experience. Hope is one of the words I hear, I think, most every day. Mm-hmm. Ironically, I hear the word hope perhaps as much, if not more, than I hear the word love. And I think this particular season of life that we're in, where there are all sorts of questions regarding the domestic and the international landscape in which we're living, people are feeling an assault upon some of the basic understandings of care and peace and justice, feeling as if some of the foundations upon which we've depended are shaking beyond what persons have remembered. And I think in that sense, hope is all the more a question and a felt need in many lives.
Yeah, and Dr. Smith, it's great to be with you. And if I'm understanding your work, you're pretty clear to say that hope is more than a feeling or a good resolve. It has to be put on the ground in very specific ways, in lives and in communities. Would that be accurate?
It is that, but it's also recognizing that hope is not just something that we produce. It's not just something that is the outcome of things going well as we have wanted them. Hope is a force of God that is with us, just as God is always with us. It's immediate, it's available, and it's important for us to understand what is this force and what is what I characterize as the work of hope. Because often hope is not just bringing a sense of comfort regarding things we've desired. Hope can be disruptive. And any focus on attending to matters of justice and beloved community is always going to be disruptive for not only the society at large, but for individuals involved.
One of the reasons why I love your book is because it's grounded in the spiritual practices of hope. And I remember a couple years ago, I was doing a preaching seminar with several pastors who were involved in social justice preaching. And one of them confessed that they often had trouble finding hope in the text, but also hope in the world. And so I think this idea of spiritual practice centered on hope is so incredibly important. Can you share with us kind of how you got to this understanding of spiritual practices, the need for spiritual practice, as we kind of nurture this force of God that is with us regarding hope?
Certainly. One of the statements at the very outset of the book is that any kind of spiritual formation must take seriously the social realities in which we're living. there can be, I think, a strong argument that the whole biblical narrative is related to God's desire for beloved community, God's seeking a people who will give themselves to the creation of community that reflects God's dream for creation itself. And as we talk about spiritual formation, we then cannot just be thinking about what does it mean for me or what does it mean just for us as individuals. We also have to be asking, what does it mean for community itself, for society, for our cultures? And consequently, the attention to how I am understanding God's work within me and within the community, they must go together. I think any effort at spiritual formation that is solely focused on the individual is deficient, just as any effort that is solely focused on community legalities and transforming systems without attending to the matter of what is occurring also for individuals is insufficient. Because if you really are not taking seriously what all of us need in terms of sustaining ourselves in the work for justice and beloved community, which I think is the spiritual practices, eventually the very dire consequences that often come from working for justice can overwhelm you. Mm-hmm. Working for justice is not just joyous. It can be distressing, and for some, depressing, and for some, even despairing. Mm-hmm. And I think hope is essential to our ability to sustain our engagement with matters of injustice, to sustain ourselves in working for a beloved community. And without this being enlivened to life, which is the way in which I understand this force of God, I think we find ourselves feeling rather disappointed, but more than disappointed, feeling rather desperate, but more than desperate. I think feeling in many ways a kind of despair regarding our capacities to address these systems that have such a grip on life as it is, where matters of greed and oppression fail to attend to what is really needed for beloved community in terms of compassion and justice.
There's so much wisdom in that. It's hard for me to unpack it all into a response. Hope can be disruptive is something you said, which I think, amen, 100 times over. You know, our network is large and sort of kind of all over the place with a lot of people in different ministry settings. Often when they call us, it's because something is on fire. You know, so I was just thinking about the last 3 or 4 days, I've gotten a call from a pastor. Her board is kind of fighting with each other over something that seems trivial, but of course, nothing in church is trivial. I've had a pastor call about a community program that is really losing steam and traction. Constant worries about funding from some of them. And of course, the election strife, which is kind of ever present. So they're already living in disruption. What's your wisdom, Dr. Smith, in saying to them there's a different disruption that they should reach for? Because I do think one of your great insights is human nature is we want to take this on ourselves and we want to create it and we want to sustain it, not receive it and understand it. Thinking of the pastors who are going to be listening to this, what coaching or guidance might you be able to give from your work?
Yes, the first practice in the book is contemplative prayer, and it focuses on 3 aspects of praying itself. That is, listening deeply, discerning deeply, that is, truly understanding what you've heard and working toward an interpretation of what you've heard that is hopefully resonant with the authentic self, how God is speaking both to you and through you. And engaging what you've discerned so that a prayer is not just a moment where one is in some way speaking petitions as much as it is times of listening and discerning and engaging. This kind of grounding is, I think, essential to what will be the struggle in the work of hope, that being how working for justice in beloved community is taxing in terms of energy and strength and relationships. And it's this kind of grounding, I think, that enables us to experience within this work the opportunities for joy and laughter and peace and deep relationships, because one begins to accept that the struggle is an integral dimension of life itself, rather than somehow another that which has entered into the struggle and failed to reflect what we had thought this struggle would be in terms of peace and harmony and joy. Our prophets are not speaking about peace and harmony and joy as the fundamental understanding of shalom. Mm-hmm. The fundamental understanding of shalom relates to matters of justice itself. And that's always leaving one with words of lament and words of anguish, but also the sense in which there's a fulfillment in all of this that is greater than the anguish and greater than the lament. But I would also want listeners to be aware, if they're not already, that with all of the difficulty that comes in these matters of beloved community and the work in justice, there's also delight and joy and beauty to be experienced. And this is where we truly have to call upon the significance of worship as that which gives us vitality. I have a chapter on the spiritual practice of celebrating community. And how might we have the artists and our stories of the struggle and food as those elements that give us the awareness of how in this we are continually being nourished and nurtured. All of these things can be, I think, that which is at times surprising, but that which through the spiritual practice of celebrating community, we might rely upon as a time and as a place for what we need for the ongoing struggle. In the chapter where I speak about the spiritual practice of transforming community, I convey that it's not just about how you're dealing with people who are operatives in the systems of our society, but how do we often find conflict among ourselves, among those of us who are on the same page in wanting the outcome of justice, but we have such a different strategy for getting there. And we will find ourselves cutting one another's throats in conflict.
Amen.
Among ourselves or with other organizations that agree with us, our collaborators, in ways in which we get distressed when we think, oh my goodness, how can we find ourselves in this place and time in such conflict when we are a people who gathered under the understanding that we are the ones who are seeking to live out the prophetic message to which God has called us, and yet we find ourselves at one another's throats.
Amen.
There are creative ways for us to recognize this is occurring, but also to at times perceive how the conflict is that which enables us to address matters that need addressing, that we don't always look at conflict as negative. And consequently, I talk about the importance of the spiritual practice of befriending conflict rather than always running from it. Because if you're always running from conflict, you are certainly avoiding matters that need attention, matters that need some kind of healing process. And there are ways for us to befriend conflict, which enables us to befriend transformation. And I think in the long run will help us to what we have been taught as the importance of befriending forgiveness.
You and I met while I was at Candler and you were teaching a course on Howard Thurman. And I often talk about that course when I'm dealing with mentees and other people and how formational that course was for me in my life. It's where I discovered that Howard Thurman was a mystic, and consequently, I identify myself as a mystic as well. And I think part of what was so powerful about that course was your ability to model for us a way of being that opened up ways of being for others in the class to kind of find themselves. As pastors, as community leaders, we also have that responsibility of showing up in spaces in ways that invite other people to show up authentically. And I feel like Howard Thurman has something to say about that. I know you for sure have something to say about that. Could you just speak a little bit about what it means and how we can be courageous as we are doing this work, as we are engaging in spiritual practices, how we can continue to show up in spaces boldly and courageously and invite others to do the same so that we can do this work of building beloved community?
Yes. Thurman gives a great deal of his ministry and his writing to these matters of community and how we experience God in the midst of this.
Yes.
All of this engagement for Thurman is a God matter. It's not just a legal matter, and it's not just a matter of social customs. Those are dimensions of it, but all of this is a God matter. Mm-hmm. And so for Thurman, community itself and the care of community, the stewardship of community, our attention to community is essential to who we are as persons of faith. But what is also crucial for Thurman is the kind of attention he gives to the devotional life. Mm-hmm. Who am I? And how do I understand myself? And how that is essential to the work that we would be doing for justice and beloved community. Because if I'm uncertain about myself, I will unfortunately likely begin to raise questions about my capacities, likely to be raising questions about the meaning of who I am and my own worth. Who do I listen to? And when people begin to tell me something about myself that is both disparaging, to what extent do I accept that?
Yes.
Or to what extent am I always making decisions based upon, is there a majority vote of folks who like me? These are the kinds of matters that I think Thurman helps us to attend to.
Oh, that's so good. Dr. Smith, when you are in need of hope, assuming you don't just stand outside this, but are living this, is there a scripture, is there a bedrock conviction that you go to personally to kind of put you back in touch with all these wonderful things you've been talking about?
What has been important to me is the Micah passage, "What does the Lord require of us?" Mm-hmm. Which, when I think of what is required of me, what is required of all of us in terms of justice and mercy and this love and compassion for community itself, that is a guiding light. And there are all sorts of difficulties I think we face in terms of the work that we do, the strategies, the people with whom we relate. But as long as that is not forgotten, I can make it through the difficulties. they just come with life itself. It's like, you know, you're a gardener, and when you're a gardener, you have weeds, you have drought, you have too much rain. Having a sense of the image of what the garden is intended to be, I think, inspires one to be persistent and faithful.
Wow. What a great word of encouragement and guidance. Thank you.
This has been amazing. Thank you so much, Dr. Smith. Thank you, Mark. I could sit here and talk with you all day. The word that I'm taking with me is it's a God matter. That in and of itself, just for me, gives so much hope. And I hope that this conversation leaves our listeners with some hope and some practical tools and ways of engaging. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Smith.
Thank you for listening to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
a project of the Macedonian Ministry Foundation.
the Ministry Collaborative nurtures a national network
of pastors and congregations
committed to faithful,
creative,
and courageous engagement in their communities.
Our producer is Marthane Sanders.
To find out more about our work of cultivating leadership that makes a difference
in congregations and communities,
visit our website
at www.ministrycollaborative.org.